Been a wonderful privilege since last night to be among you here at Bethel. We've enjoyed services tremendously and seem like we do every year. The Lord has been good. As I stand before you a little while this afternoon, I realize, I know how I am. I eat a good meal, get relaxed. It's easy to nod off. Brother Johnson told us last night that we see you if you go to sleep. But that's not important. The Lord knows. I'd ask you just for a few moments. Let's worship God together. Pray that the Lord would bless me to say a few things that be honored and glory to Him, would be beneficial to us. And if we'll worship Him together, we'll have a good time in the Lord this afternoon. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. We'll read the first four verses for a starting place. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I have delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that He was buried, that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. We've heard some about that already. As I was thinking last night about coming to Bethel, or yesterday, or even back earlier in the week, why am I here? Why am I here personally? And I may ask, why are you here? I trust we're here to worship the Lord. And Brother Johnson last night again made a statement. He was making a statement about some other people that says they go get saved. And I thought of that for a minute. I came here to get saved this weekend. This says, Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, if you keep these things that I've told you in memory, you'll be saved. I believe he's talking to the children of God, the church at Corinth. And after last night and this morning, my prayer has been answered. I have felt salvation here this weekend. When you hear Elder Joe Hildreth get up and preach, by the grace of God, on the love of God, and you can just feel that within your soul, the love of God. And I believe you felt it this morning. I believe he felt it this morning as he was delivering that wonderful message, the love of God. You know, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by God Himself. We don't reach out and get it. We love Him because He first loved us. A wonderful blessing. Then Brother Tucker come along and preached on the providence of God. Just if we would remember about the love of God, and if we will remember the providence of God, how Jesus Christ Himself protects us, not only saves us from our sins, but He delivers us day after day, time after time. When we go out to the house of the Lord, salvation is there, deliverance is there, deliverance from error, deliverance from the evil things of this earth. I don't believe many people this morning, after the love of God was preached and after the providence of God was preached, and Elder Bradley preached the sovereignty of God, How many minds was out into the world? You were saved from that. I wasn't thinking about the war in Iraq. I wasn't thinking about what's happening back home. I wasn't thinking about all the things that happened in Nashville, Tennessee. My thought was on the love of God, the providence of God, and the sovereignty of God. That's salvation to me. Fills my soul. Makes me rejoice. Makes me want to go back to Rocky Springs Church this Sunday and tell the people there that I preach to every Sunday what rejoicing it was, what salvation I received at Bethel Church by the hand of the Lord, through the preaching of the gospel, through the singing of the songs of Zion, and through the fellowship of God's people while we sojourn here. A wonderful salvation while we're here, living time, while we sojourn here. It's a necessity for a child of God to have those things while we live here, to have a better life. What a blessing it is. Do you realize how many people in Nashville, Tennessee is not receiving the salvation that we're receiving this weekend? I understand they're going to have a big bash down on the river this weekend. Bands from all over the country. I don't believe they'll feel what we felt here this morning. I don't believe they'll feel that salvation. They won't feel that deliverance that comes within. They may feel something for this natural body. I have enough of this natural body, about as much as I can stand a lot of times. Then I think about the love of God. I think about the sovereignty of God. Then I think about the providence of God in my life. I look back in my life and see where God has protected me, where God has blessed me. And I don't know why. For my sake, I do know why. Because He loved me. I believe that. You know, He loved me now just as much as He ever did. He won't love me no more tomorrow than He does today. I look back in my past, look back at the sins that I've committed, and wonder why He loves me. That doesn't change the love of God. I believe two elders, Brother Lonnie mentioned it last night, and Brother Joe mentioned today. There's nothing that separates us from the love of God. You read all of those things in the 8th chapter of Romans. If death won't separate you from it, if life won't separate you from it, and none of those things will separate you from the love of God, the sins that I commit is not going to separate me from the love of God. And I trust, just a little bit, that I have a love for Him because He has that love for me, that I would manifest it in my life. And the salvation, I need to keep those things. We need to keep those things that was preached to us this morning. We need to keep the sovereignty of God in our mind. We need to keep the providence of God in our mind. We definitely need to keep the love of God in our mind. Not only in our minds, but in our walk and in our talk. More so in our walk than our talk. That's when we receive the salvation. If we don't keep those things, this is conditional. If you keep in memory these things. That tells me we don't have to keep them, but we won't receive the salvation. We won't receive that deliverance. We won't receive that feeling that we've had this weekend. It won't be there. Apostle Paul said, I delivered something to you that I've received. You know, I don't think a preacher can get up and preach something that he hasn't felt, that he hadn't studied, that the Lord hadn't revealed to him, that he hadn't put his head in the book. We've already been told how important the book is, the Word. Brother Lonnie told us that God Himself has kept the Word for us, a benefit for us. And I believe it's a salvation for us. If you had troubles and trials and tribulation of this life, if you have, here's the answer to every one of them. This is up to date. It was written many years ago, but it's for today. Just like Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Nothing new No trials, no tribulation are coming 2003 that you can't get the answer here. And praying to the good Lord above. So we come out to hear the gospel. Apostle Paul was telling the church at Corinth, I preach this to you. I preach you what I've received and what you've received and that you have believed in it. It's important that we believe those things. But what if we don't? There's a verse of scripture that's been a blessing to me. When I think of those things about believing, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 11, 12 and 13. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Apostle Paul says, if you believe those things, if you don't believe them, it doesn't change anything. It doesn't change God where we believe or don't believe. Ain't you thankful for that? I'm thankful that Charles Whitten, unbelief doesn't change anything that God does. Doesn't change the power of God, doesn't change the love of God, doesn't change the providence of God, doesn't change the sovereignty of God. All it changes is the salvation that I have from believing and from obeying, from practicing those things, putting those things in use in my life, putting those things in you in the church that we pastor, and telling God's people about the love of God. It does my soul good to hear these young ministers preach. But when I hear Brother Joe this morning, blessed to preach on the sovereignty of God, seeing him walk in last night, walking with a cane, but seeing God deliver him to preach the glorious gospel in his later years in life. Wonderful blessing. The gospel that we try to preach, the gospel that we try to live. Also in 2 Timothy, the first chapter, it tells us something there that is important to us. Apostle Paul's telling Timothy. He also told the church at Rome in the first chapter that he's not ashamed of the gospel, that he wanted to preach it at Rome. I believe Brother Tucker was saying that he was going to preach it at Rome. God preserved him where he would go to Rome and preach. But he said to Timothy in the first chapter, 2 Timothy, beginning with the 8th verse, be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Then it tells us what God does. This is the gospel. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. What if you don't believe that? It doesn't change what happened before the world began, does it? Aren't you thankful for that? Aren't you thankful that Jesus, God, through Jesus Christ, chose us before the foundation of the world. He knew who we were. He chose us out. But what does the gospel do? This next verse tells us. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Doesn't produce any light. Life. As we've already been told last night, life is in Jesus Christ. The gospel brings it out where we can see it. Aren't you thankful that you can come out to the house of the Lord and hear the gospel proclaimed where you can see it, where you can feel it? Feel it deep down in here. And you can leave here this weekend a better person. You can leave here this weekend with a more fruitful mind from the things that you hear from the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know what gospel is? Gospel is good news. And it's good news from a far country, from heaven itself. When the Spirit of God blesses a preacher to preach the glorious gospel, it has effect on the children of God. It has effect on the people of God. And that's who it's to, the children of God, that gives them strength, gives them how to walk in life, we heard this morning. I'm thankful for Elder Bradley. I heard him over at New Hope Church about four nights. And I came away richer, knowing how to serve the Lord, knowing how to do the thing that the Lord has us to do, knowing how to depend on this. I'm thankful for the elders that come out and preach those things. Not only that God saved us and God's going to come back and get us one day after a while, but God is on his throne today. He's at the right hand of God making intercession for us. Jesus Christ, our Savior, and he leads us and guides us and directs us by his word. And our life is richer. Our family life is richer. And our family grows. You're my family, the children of God. And as we travel around from different places, family gets larger and larger. For us, personally, and it's been mentioned several times, he has a people in every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. They're our people. They're our brothers and sisters in the Lord. I don't know who they are. I like the way Brother Joe said it. I'll see them in heaven. Brother Joe, I don't know where we know who they are or not, but we'll see them there. But what is the gospel? That Jesus came to save his people from their sins, and he did it. She shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Period. Don't need to add nothing to it. Don't need to take nothing away from it. That's the gospel. Not only that, he died for our sins. He was put in Joseph's new tomb, was buried for our sins. For us. When I go out to the cemetery with a loved one, we've all been there. See that casket lowered into the grave? What do you think? Outwardly, you're sad. But what about inwardly? Did you think when you put your loved ones there, Jesus has been there? And where Jesus has been and where Jesus is, we've already been told, that's a good place to be. I tell a little personal thing, just for emphasis. When I carried my 29-year-old son out, got killed in a car wreck, to the cemetery, the undertaker says, go back up to the church. We'll take care of it. I said, I want to see his tomb. I want to see his casket lowered into the tomb. Not to see where you do it right or not. This is the last thing I can see. I stood there at the graveside as they lowered that body into the tomb. Outwardly, I was sad, but inwardly, I rejoiced. I was delivered by the power of God. Sadness wasn't there inwardly, because I knew where he was at. I knew he was in heaven and immortal glory already in the Spirit. And I knew Jesus had been to the tomb, and Jesus conquered that. He came out of the tomb. He was victorious over death, hell, and the grave. That's sweet news to me. That's gospel to me. That saves me. That saved me that day. When I left that cemetery, I wasn't sad inwardly. It's natural to be sad outwardly. But that inward feeling that I had, that calm feeling that I had, overwhelmed the sadness that I had. Because I knew my son hadn't lived a real good life. He had problems, like we all have problems. But the assurance that I had, the feeling that I have, by the power of God, you know, I'm the one that believes in a personal Savior. He's personal to me. And I believe he's personal to you. He's my personal Savior. I talk with him. I depend on him. Not like I should. But when I do, salvation is there. Salvation for me. And he's your personal Savior. Aren't you thankful that Jesus Christ can be your personal Savior? He can be my personal Savior. He can be the personal Savior of all of his children all over the universe. I believe that's part of the gospel. That's part of the good news. Jesus was buried according to the scripture. And he didn't even have his own tomb. He didn't need it. He wasn't going to stay there long. That's more of the gospel that saves us. He come out of the tomb on that glorious morning, the resurrection morning. He come out of that grave. And he walked on this earth some 40 days. Proving. Some 500 saw him, then the apostles saw him, and Apostle Paul said, I saw him. Wouldn't you love to have seen him? I can just see Apostle Paul when he saw him. A resurrected Savior. You know, I think we can see him. By an eye of faith, we can see where he come out of that tomb. And then, 40 days later, said, you men of Galilee, why stand ye gaze into heaven? This same Jesus is going to come back in like manner. As Brother Joe said, he's coming back. He's coming back to get me. I like that. I like me. I like the feeling I have when I think about my Savior cares enough for me that he'll die for me, that he was buried for me, that he'll come back and get me. But more rejoicing is that he'll come and get you. He's coming after his children. When you pray to the Father, our Father who art in heaven, there's a relationship there. He's your Father. He's your Heavenly Father. I think that's part of the gospel, that we're saved. We hear those things. We abide those things. We embrace those things. We manifest those things. Even I think Isaiah knew something about it. He said, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak you comfortable unto Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. I can't get all of that. I'll just turn there, and then we'll try to close. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfort to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all of her sin. Deliverance of Jerusalem. Deliverance of every child of God that Christ died for. Comfort God's people by telling them that and walking that in our lives. Pray for Brother Mike as he comes forth to preach to you. Come to see us at Rocky Springs Church.